John chapter number 13, verse number 1. John chapter 13, verse number 1. I hear pages turning, so I'll give you a moment to get there. John chapter 13, verse number 1. And we got books still going around, so I'll give you just a moment. Right, John chapter 13, verse number 1 says, "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this simple verse here. Lord, we pray that you'd meet with us tonight. You'd speak to our hearts in this short time we have tonight. Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd help us understand just a little bit of your love, just a little bit of what you've done for us. Lord, we pray that you'd be glorified, that you'd be honored in our midst, Lord. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would work among us, Lord, that if there be any loss, Lord, that you'd bring conviction to their souls, Lord. Help them, Father, to realize the love of God and understand the magnitude of their sin and turn to you in faith. Father, we pray again that you'd be magnified and glorified in this place tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in chapter number 13. If you missed any of them, you go to the library and get on sermon audio and listen to the other ones. Every one of these is on sermon audio. You just search my name or Fountain Square Baptist Church. They're all on there. I record them and upload them to sermon audio. So you'll be able to catch up on what you missed. But here in chapter number 13, we have the Feast of Passover about to come. This is the time when the hour is come that He is going to depart out of this world. The time has come that Jesus is about to do what He came to do. He's about to depart. He's about to be rejected. He's about to be despised. He's about to stand before Pilate. And He's about to be judged. He's about to be judged before the Sanhedrin. He's about to be judged before the high priest, and he is going to be condemned being an innocent man. And he's going to fulfill the promise of his coming, the reason for his coming. And it says that having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And I just wanted to take just a moment tonight, just a few moments, to look here at how Jesus loved us to the end. Now, of course, it talks about Him loving His own. We're not going to get into a big theological discussion about all of that. But what I wanted to talk about tonight is the fact that Jesus Christ loves you. The fact that Jesus Christ loves me. We could sing the song, "Jesus Loves Me." There's all kinds of songs about God's love and about how He loved us and all that there is to that. But you think about the song even that we just sang. Now, I could just go through the hymn book and we could just have a good old time here. But the song that we just sang, my daughter and I, "The love of God is greater far than any tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure," the saints and angels song. And it says, "When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race." The saints and angels song. Notice, this is a saints and angels song there a few times. It's talking about the love of God is their song. It's what they're singing about. Now they also sing about the holiness of God and all of that. Of course, it was His holiness that required, or it was His love and His holiness together that required Christ to come and die on the cross for our sins, because we couldn't be allowed in without perfect holiness. So He had to take our place, a substitutionary death, that we might have substitutionary holiness. And it says, could we with ink the ocean fill? Can you imagine that? Just fill the whole ocean with ink. If we could do that, it says, and were the skies of parchment made, if we could write on the skies, were every stalk on earth a quill. I mean, you go out in the field and every single thing sticking up in the air is a pen, a quill. It says, and every man a scribe by trade. Every single person. If all of us were scribes, if we were all writers, and every stalk on earth was a quill to write with, and we wrote it on the sky and used the ocean for the ink, it says, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. If we tried to fill the earth with the fact of Christ's love, of course we could spend days and days and days discussing the love of God, discussing all the wonderful works that Christ did for us. Remember, John, later on, at the end of the book, says if it were written down, if everything was written down that He did, the whole world couldn't contain it. The books that would be written. And so that's the idea that the hymn writer here is getting at, is that you couldn't possibly even touch on the depth of the love of God. The other song that we all sing, My Savior's Love, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Now, don't get him confused. He wasn't a Nazarite, he was a Nazarene. It's the difference between a Nazarite and a Nazarene. Nazarite is a Nazarite vow. Nazarene, someone of Nazareth. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. We said, I always sing the Oh How Marvelous. I mean, you know, you could just sing How Marvelous, How Wonderful. I mean, it's just, to me, it's like, oh, how marvelous! Oh, how wonderful! And my song shall ever be, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me, it was in the garden He prayed, not my will, but thine. If you look through the pages of Scripture, and you look at the Garden of Gethsemane, when Christ goes in, and He bows there before the Father, and He sweats great drops of blood. It was for me, in the garden He prayed, not my will but thine. When He said, Father, if this cup pass from me, then He says, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. He had no tears for His own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says that He took our griefs. Right? It says He bore our iniquities. And let me jump back over here. Right quickly. It says, He bore our griefs. And it says, He was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, wait a minute. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore my burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. The Father turned His back. The sky was dark. He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Because He took my sin upon Himself. Because God couldn't bear to look at my sin, the Father turned His back. As He turned His back, His benevolent presence away from Christ, His wrath was poured out on the cross. And He received the hell that I deserved. It says, when with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. Oh, how marvelous! Oh, how wonderful! And my song shall ever be, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. The love of Christ
took him all the way to the garden. The love of Christ took him through that time of prayer. The love of Christ took him through the arrest and the betrayal of a close friend. The love of Christ took him through the judgment. The love of Christ took him through the mockings, the slappings on the face, the plucking out of the beard, the beating over the head with the reed. And then he's taken and they say, "Oh, whip him." And they whip him with the cat of nine tails. The love of Christ, he loved us through the suffering. That cat of nine tails ripping the flesh off of his back. Unto the end. Not just, "Oh, hey, that's enough." He could have called 12 legions of angels to just wipe us out. Say, "Forget it, never mind. It's enough." But instead, he loved them unto the end. All the way to the end. The crown of thorns on his head, pressed into his skull, the blood running down. Put a robe on him, mocking him, hitting him with a reed. The blood and sweat, everything in his eyes, he can't hardly see, swelling, and his back begins to, the blood begins to clot and stick to that robe that they put on him in the morning when they brought him before. They had the robe on him and mocked him in front of everyone that he came to save. And they said, "Crucify him! Away with such a man from the earth!" He loved them unto the end. They ripped that robe off. You ever had a bandage on? Stick to the wound there and you rip it off? Doesn't feel very good. Opens the wound back up. Made him carry the cross outside of the city. Fell beneath the load, and they called another to bear it for him. They nailed him to that cross on Golgotha's hill, raised him up, dropped that cross into the hole. As he's on that cross, nails through his hands and his feet, it falls into the hole in him. And then he's got to decide whether he wants to hurt his hands to get a breath, because of the pressure on your body on the cross causes you to suffocate. If you want to breathe, you have to do that. So he either has to decide, am I going to put pressure on my feet, the nail that's through my feet, or through my hands, just to breathe? He suffered that for 3 hours. More than 3 hours. And he said, "It is finished." The end. And he died. Let me say something about the love of God. God's love is not a love that overlooks our sin. Not at all. Not in any way. God is a loving God. And because he is a loving God, real love requires justice. Real love requires accountability. Because if I say that I love someone, if I say that I love my children, and I use my love as an excuse to not be just, and I say, "Oh, I love you, it doesn't matter if you obey, because I love you." That's unjust. That's not real love. Real love is going to be just with them. Going to execute judgment as is necessary. True love is looking out for their best interest, right? Looking out for their best interest so that they don't grow up to have no understanding of cause and effect. no understanding consequences of doing wrong. They have to know, if I love them, I'm going to teach them right from wrong. If I love them, I'm going to show them purity and holiness and righteousness. Just the same, God, the God of heaven, who is a loving God, will not allow one sin to pass before His judgment seat and let you into heaven. Not one single sin. James said that if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you're guilty of all. It's because God is a just God and He is a loving God. And because He is a just and loving God, He will not allow a single sin into heaven with one sin on their account. You can't get in if you've told one lie. You can't get in if you've disobeyed in one point. If you've stolen one thing, if you've committed adultery one time, if you've committed fornication one time, if you've rejected to put God first in your life one time, you cannot get in. And that's why. Well, what does that mean? That means we're all without hope, right? Every single one of us has done wrong. Has anyone in here never, ever done one thing wrong? Let's see. I was just raising my hand as an example. I've certainly done plenty wrong. In God's love, He must judge us. But in His love, He provided satisfaction of His judgment when He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. In His love, the Father, having loved the world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Son, having loved the world, He loved them unto the end. Isn't it interesting how the triune nature of God loves us? God the Father loved us so much that He sent His own Son. God the Son loved us so much that He agreed to come. And God the Spirit enabled it all. Empowered the Son and did all the wonderful works and so forth. But God loved us so much that He would not allow us to just have a pass. He had to be satisfied. And the only way to be satisfied was absolute perfection. Absolute perfection came in Christ. When He came, He said, you know what? They can't do it. I'll do it for them. But though He did it for us, He had to suffer what we deserve to suffer. And so, His suffering on the cross was His love poured out. As the blood flowed down, there's a song that we sing. I don't know if anybody's heard it. It's, when I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my price. Forbid it, Lord, that I should gain, or that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. And then the third verse says, see from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Now, of course, we know what was flowing down from His head, His hands, and His feet. Blood, right? The blood of God, the blood of God, the blood of Christ cleanses us. The blood of Christ flowed down, and that blood represented our sorrows that He took upon Himself. And it represented His love that He had for us. It says, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. It's amazing. I love this thing. See how, like, it's about as warm as my Bible? That's because I use this thing. Bible says, speaks of being filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit, says right after that, says teaching one another. They're singing, making melody in your heart. songs and hymns and spiritual songs. So that's it. He loved us unto the end. Tonight, if you've never recognized Christ for who He is, consider that Christ loved you to the end. But you must first understand why He had to love you to the end. Because you're a sinner. Because you deserve God's wrath. And Christ, in His love, took your place on the cross and loved you all the way to the end. Christian, if you trust in Christ, be encouraged. You might say, well, why would I be encouraged? I'm in a tough spot here. You're not out there in the heat. You know what? More important than not being out there in the heat, more important than having eaten a little while ago, and those of you that have bunks, you've got Tempur-Pedic mattresses you're going to sleep on. For those of you that don't, you'll have your turn. That's a lot to be thankful for. But more important than that stuff and that fly that keeps bothering me is that Jesus loved you so much that He died for you. Not only that, but He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Not only did He love us to the end, but I would say that we'll find as we continue reading through the Word of God that He loved us beyond that. Past the end. Because we'll find that the end wasn't the end. It was just what they thought the end was going to be. The end of His earthly life, His earthly ministry. But when He died, He didn't stay in the grave. He got up. 3 days later, He got up, having victory over sin, death, and the grave, and offers to all who will simply turn to Him in faith, offers to all salvation. And when He said to His disciples, when they came back and they said, Jesus, we cast out demons. We've done all kinds of awesome stuff. We've done miracles and all these things. He says, don't rejoice for that. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Amen. Your name is written in heaven. If you're born again tonight, you can go to your bunk or the pew or the terrazzo floor or wherever you're going to lay. And you can lay your head down and you can say, glory to God, my name is written in heaven. Praise the Lord. Regardless of your circumstances. Regardless. It's easy for you to say, not necessarily. Regardless of your circumstances. We all know difficulty. We all know sorrow. We all know loss. And we know a few actually tonight mourning the loss of family members. Everybody's been there. Everybody's been in a tough spot. But if you're born again today, you can rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And what do you do about all the rest? Open the book and read and obey. He loved you to the end. We also sang, my Jesus, I love Thee, and oh, how I love Jesus. If we love Him, remember love, the simplest definition of love is selfless, seeking the best interest of another. So we say, I love Jesus. I'm going to say, fooey on me, what's best for Him? That's what He said about, well, not in those words, but that's what He essentially did for you. He said, I can do without the praise and the glory for 33 years and then be rejected because I love you. And He did that for you. Consider that. Let it encourage you. And let it produce faith. If you're not saved tonight, and you need to be born again, if you don't know what that means, you come talk to me. If you don't know what that means, you need to seek Christ through repentance and faith. Repentance is so simple. You recognize that you're a sinner in need for a Savior. Now all you have to do is go to Him, because He's the only one that can solve that problem. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, so much for Your many blessings. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of being here tonight. Lord, we thank You, Father, for Your love, wherewith You loved us. Father, help us to love You as well. We recognize all through Your Word, it speaks of Your love. And Lord, we know that we love You because You first loved us. And so, Lord, we pray, Father, that You'd be with these men, or help them in whatever circumstance they're in, to be able to rejoice that You love them even unto the end. And if they're born again tonight, that their name is written down in heaven. And they can glory in Your name because of that. Father, we just pray that You bless them. Help those looking for jobs to find them. And Lord, we pray, Father, that You'd deal with the need of each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.